Right. It's lovely to be here today, and there's something for what I hope God has got to say to each one of us. From the youngest, you'd be about the youngest, wouldn't you? Yes. What's your name? You haven't got a name? Oh, that's a shame. We'll call you Brian. Okay. All right, okay. To the oldest, is there anyone here who's going to sort of put their hand up and say they're the oldest? Maria? No? 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 Oh, I see. All right, fair enough. Anyway, this is very important because we're here today as a family. And I want to explain the significance of this jar. Okay? Every day, I take the money out of my pocket when I get home. And I have a look to see what coins I've got there. Now, you see, I've got some 5p coins here. By anything at all, 5 pence. So I throw that in there. Or pennies, look, 2 pences. Pennies and 2 pences and 5 pences. Let me have a look any more in there. Yes, there's another 5, another 1, another 2. And well, you see, all this money is more or less worth nothing at all. There's nothing I can buy. I can't go. When I was a lad, wasn't that long ago, I would be able to go to a sweet shop and I could get 2 sweets for a penny, an old penny. You know? Wow! I used to be able to buy 1/8. You know, 1/8 is if you get a loaf of bread and you cut it up into 8 pieces, a penny and a half, that used to be. When I used to go past the bakery on my way home from school and I'd ruin my dinner because I'd eat it on the way home. Nowadays, I can't get anything at all, really, from those sorts of coins. So, they're virtually useless. But then, every now and then, I go and put them in a bag, and I take that bag of all those little coins to the bank, and I say, can you give me something that's really worthwhile, please? And they'll give me pound coins, and they might give me a 5 pound. They've suddenly changed that which was of no value at all into something that is worthwhile. Yeah, really good. I tell you a game I used to play with my little grandsons when they were really small. One of them might have been not much bigger than that, about your size perhaps. The other one was just a little older. Let's just imagine they were 4 years old and 2 years old. And what I used to do with this jar, I'd get them to sit in the middle of the bed, and I'd tip all those coins out onto the bed, and I'd say to Isaac, the older of the two, I want you to take out of those all of those coins that have got the Queen's head on them. And I'd say to little Tom, and I want you to take out of there all of those coins that have got the tail, the opposite of a king's queen's head on them. And you keep them into 2 separate piles. And once they'd done that, then I'd look in each of the piles and I'd pick up a coin that was supposed to be in the heads pile. And I'd say, Isaac, you've made a mistake. This one's got a tail on it. And I'd say to Tom, you've made a mistake because you've got all the tails there, but this coin has got a head on it. I used to keep them busy for about 2 hours. Now, if you've got any little grandchildren, that's a trick. That's a tip you can have. But you know, those coins got no value at all. No real value at all. But I can change them into something that has got real value. Now I want to tell you a story. And the reason you're out here is because you're going to help me. In the same way as all the children helped me the last time when I told the story of Noah. Can you remember every time we said the word see, you had to go like this? And every time I said the word saw, you had to go like that. Can you do that? Can you do that? That's meant to be a saw, and that's meant to be the sea. Okay? So today, in today's story, if I say the word sea, you've got to go like this. And if I say the word saw, you've got to go like this. Okay? And if I say the word right, you've got to go like this. Right. Yeah. But if I say the word left, you've got to go like this. That's it. You've got to get the right arm, like the correct arm. Okay. All right. That's it. That's your left one. Okay, love. Do you want me to write on the back of your hand there? Right. Okay. This is, when I say right, you've got to put your right arm up. It's not the one that looks like me. Lovely. Because I'm going around there like that, you see. But anyway, so you've got to think about this. So what are the four words? The four words are see, saw, right, left. Right, okay. Here we go. Right, now, this is today's story. This is today's story. It's mainly only for the children, you know that, but if you want to listen, then you can. God had said to the children of Israel, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be the one who's going to give you all the things that you need. You won't need anybody else other than me if you see me as your God. But you know, the children of Israel, they didn't see. Wake up, Victoria. They didn't see God as their God. They decided to look at other gods. Now, that's not right, is it? No. You see, what the problem was, they had left God and they'd gone to other gods. So God said, okay. Right, said God. I'm going to give you some real problems. And let's see how you cope with those problems. And God sent a terrible army against all the children of Israel whenever they were actually trying to grow any crops. They would plant seeds. I didn't catch anybody. Right. They'd plant seeds and things would grow from the ground. And the farmers would think, right, let's go out and get our crops. Let's not let any of the crops be left in the field because we've got to go and get them all. But whenever they gathered all of those crops into their barns, this terrible invading army would come and they'd take all of the crops out of the barns. There'd be nothing left. You're not doing very good. There'd be nothing left. And God said, right, he said, I can see that they need a helping hand. Very good. I'd forgotten that one. Right. I can see they need a helping hand. So he sent one day the angel of the Lord to speak to one of the children of Israel. His name wasn't Brian. It was Gideon. Okay? Have you got that name? Because you've got to remember that. Because later on I'm going to be asking you, have you got that? Right? So, Gideon had got all of his corn. He hadn't left any of it in the field. He brought it to the wine press. Now, that's a hole in the ground, that is. And he was actually threshing all the seed in that wine press. Now, what that meant was he would lift up all of the corn into the air, and all the bad bits of seed would blow away, and all that was left would be the corn on the floor. And then he'd be able to take that home and make flour out of it. On one day, the angel of the Lord came and said, Gideon, I can see you as a mighty man of valor. Wow, there's Gideon who's hiding. He's not a mighty man of valor. He is actually down there hiding away because he wants to make sure that any seed that is left on the ground, he can take home and it's not stolen. But this angel said, you are a mighty man of valor. No, I'm going to ask you that question later, okay? What was his name?
Gideon.
Oh, and what was he? A mighty man of valor. Oh, I can see that you're listening. And when I ask you that question later, you'll get the right answer. Right, good. Now Gideon looked up and he said to this angel, not me. You must be looking for someone else. No. You're the man that's been chosen. You are the one who has to change this land. I want you to go out and destroy one of the big idols that is in your town. Gideon said, oh, I'm not so sure about that. I'll have to think about that, he said. So, look, but before you leave, he said, I want to get you a meal. So he went into his house and he brought back some meat. He brought back some bread and he put it down in front of this angel. The angel's stick, okay? Right? It was pointed on the food and the food burst into flames. There was nothing left. You're okay. All right? But that's your right arm. There was nothing left. Okay? Now, this showed Gideon that this truly was someone from God. And this man from God was saying that it was Gideon that was the mighty man of valor. Is that what he said? Yeah, good. Well, that night, Gideon went with one of his great big bulls, okay? And he tore down the idol, as the angel had told him. So the idol is on the floor. So he had to saw it up into smaller pieces. He built an altar and he put all the wood that was on was the broken idol, put it on the stones, let it catch fire, killed the bull, left the bull on the altar, and that bull was consumed, was burnt up. There was nothing left. This one thinks there was nothing left. The next morning, because remember Gideon did that at night, didn't he? Right? Because he was frightened all the time. The next morning, all the people in the village said, whoa, whoa, where's our idol gone? I can't see it. And then they saw the altar. And they thought, who's done this? And someone said, I think it was right. Yeah, I think it was Gideon. And Gideon nearly got into trouble over that. But Gideon's father said to him, hang on a second. There's no need for you to take out your temper against Gideon. Because if your God, your Baal, the one that you're worshipping there as a piece of stone, if he's annoyed with Gideon, let him do his own business. Let him catch Gideon. So the people didn't take any action against Gideon. But then God said something else to Gideon. He said, I want you, remember, he was the mighty man of valor, right? I want you to get all of the men in the area and I want you to go and attack that terrible army that's waiting for you down in the valley. Do you know how many men came out and stood with Gideon? 320,000 men. That's a lot of men. That's a lot of men, isn't it? 320,000 men. And God said to Gideon, hang on, he said. If you go and attack that army down there with 320,000 men and you win, it'll only look as though you've won because you're so strong as an army. So I want you to send home everybody who's frightened, everybody who's got a good reason for not being in this army. And do you know what 320,000 people looks like? It looks a lot more than that. Of the 320,000 people, 220,000 people left. Yes, that's right. And so these people that were left was only 100,000 people. Okay, got that? I'll ask you that answer a little later. 100,000 people. Okay? Right. Now, God said, of all of those people, the 100,000 that are left, that's too many. Very good. That's far too many. I want you to find a way of actually sending more people home. So they came to a river. And they said to all the men, you must all be thirsty because you haven't got any food or water with you, but go on, take a drink out of that water. All the men, the 100,000 men, they all got down to the riverbank and they started drinking the water. Now, some of them got down on their fronts like this, and they put their face in the water, and they're lapping up all the water. Oh, I'm surprised I can get up. Hey, you're only an assistant. They would wipe down on their hands and knees in front of the water, lapping up the water. But other people there, other men there, they went down and they were looking around and they would get a handful of water and they'd look again, just like that. And God said, those men that are picking up the water and lapping the water, you keep those and you send the other men home. Now, how many men did I say there were? 100,000. Absolutely right. And Gideon sent home all except 300. No, I'll ask you that question in a minute. 300. That's it, okay? So, how many men went home? No, how many men went home? There were 100,000 men and 300 stayed home. No pressure. 99,700 left. Okay? And then he only had 300 men. And Gideon must be thinking, this is a bit difficult now. We've actually only got 300 men. And there's all that great big army down there. God, I don't think this is such a good idea. And Gideon said, look, I'll do as you tell me if you can do one miracle for me. Okay? I've got this fleece, that's the coat of a sheep, isn't it, right? I'm going to lay it on the ground, and tonight, whilst I'm sleeping, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to make the fleece very wet and all the ground around dry. You've got to remember that order. What was the fleece? Right. And the ground was dry. And when Gideon got up the next morning, he found that was exactly what had happened. He went to where he had left the fleece. And he found that the fleece was soaking wet. He could wring out water out of it. The ground around it was dry. Now, you would have thought that would have been enough, wouldn't it? It would have been enough for you, wouldn't it, Shirley? Yes, that would have been enough for Shirley. It would have been enough for you, Bridget? Yes? Yeah, of course it would. But not for Gideon. No. Gideon said, oh God, no, look, I'm ever so sorry. I'm not exactly that mighty man of valor you think I am, but so I need another sign. Tonight, the fleece will be left outside again. And when I get up tomorrow morning, please let the fleece be really dry, but the ground around it soaking wet. So Gideon went to sleep. Woke up early the next morning. I wonder what I'm going to see out there now. Oh, I hope it's all wet. Because then God will have let me down a bit. He went outside and the fleece had been left dry. And the ground all around was wet. So Gideon said, okay, God, I now believe that what you're saying is absolutely right. So I will do what you told me. So that night, God said, you're going to attack the men tomorrow. But if you want more confidence, go out tonight with your servant. Now, I hoped that I was going to be able to call him Ryan, but I can't because his name is in the Bible, so I can't mess that around. His name was Peter, I think. So Gideon went out with his servant and crept over the top of the mountain, down into the valley, and he was down there with the army, and he was listening at the tents. And you know what he heard? He heard one of the soldiers wake up, because this was in the middle of the night, and he said to his friend, oh, I've had a terrible dream. I have had a dream where there's a great big roll of bread that comes running down the mountain and crashes into the tents and knocks all the tents down, and all that's left is just a shambles. You missed that. Everybody missed it. All that's left is a shambles. Everything's broken in our camp. His friend said, do you know what I believe that means? I think that means that Gideon is going to come and attack us. So Gideon's just outside the tent and he's hearing his name. Gideon is going to attack us. So Gideon now is filled with confidence. Okay? There isn't any fear left in him. Okay? Because of what he had been able to see. In fact, everything that he saw was now giving Gideon confidence that he was going to win. So the following night, he took how many men? 300, that's right. He took them to the top of the mountain. They had some equipment with them. In their left hand, they had a pitcher. Not a picture of me. No. Not a picture of their home or their dog. A picture. It was like an earthenware vase. And inside that vase that they were holding in their left hand, there was a torch. They would need a torch so they could see, wouldn't they? Yeah. And in their right hand, there was a trumpet. Now, the trumpet would have been very much like the one Sue had. But I can't blow it. But it would be very much like that. So in their left hand, they had a torch. And in their right hand, they had a trumpet. And they went down and they stood all around the camp. So you can imagine there's a great big valley. So many soldiers in that valley that it says they were like locusts. There were thousands upon thousands there. But Gideon's 300 men stood around the camp. And Gideon had said, when I make the shout, you're to get the thing they had in their right hand. What was it? A trumpet? Crack it on that great big pot that you've got in your left hand, and then the light will suddenly shine so brightly around you that everyone will be able to see you. And that's what they did. So, Gideon's men were around. They had their trumpet. They blew on the trumpet. Smashed the pots. The light shined forth. And all the men in the army, in the camp, in the tent, came out, and what could they see? What they saw was lights all around them, and a huge noise. They were so frightened, they started to kill themselves. They were killing one another. They were really killing one another. You got your chin down there, I can't get you. They were killing themselves. So that there was no one alive left in the camp. Okay? And that meant that the enemy of the children of Israel was gone. Now, why have I bothered telling you this story? You see, it's just like these coins in here. Gideon thought that he was of no value at all. He was hiding. He was frightened. He was saying, I can't do anything to help my people. All I can do is try to get enough food for my family. But God said, oh no, you are a mighty man of valor. Right. Now, you know, I'm looking out there now at people and I'm thinking, I wonder what opinion they have got of themselves. Do you see yourself having just this sort of value, next to nothing? Or would you prefer to change some of those into £10 notes? Okay? Something of real value. Something that you could get some real money from. Real good value. But I've got to tell you that this sort of money is of no value at all. All right? Not at all. Because there are some people who think, if I'm good, I know I'll be good in God's sight. Yeah. I'll try my best not to do anything wrong. I'll try to do everything that's right. They fail miserably, really. They're still not worth anything. But you know, each of you, from the youngest to the oldest, can be made into something that is precious in God's sight. Can be someone who can be of great value to God. Can be someone who can do great things for God. But we need to submit to God. And we need to say, you're the only one who can change me. I want to move away from my old life. I want that to be left far behind. Left. Far behind. Because what we can find in Christ, Jesus Christ, is someone who wants to put everything right in our lives. Okay? But that can only be done one way. He is saying, so you want to be part of my family? Then you've got to do it my way. And he says in his word, the Bible, it is so clear that the only way that we can get into God's family, the only way we can be totally cleansed from all of the badness in our lives, the only way that we can find real power and authority in our individual lives, is if we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. He died at Calvary so that you and I can have new lives, totally new lives. It's as though you've been changed from something that's worthless into something that's got some real value. Because God looks down and he sees us as his, those people that are in his family, as precious stones. Yeah. He's given us a job to do. A wonderful job. Part of that job is to show through our life that there is a light inside us that needs to be exposed to the whole world so that other people can see what Jesus can do in our lives and in their lives. Have you got that? Can you see that? Yeah? Good. Because that's so important. It's a lesson that says there's one person who can change me, and that's Jesus Christ through the work that he did at Calvary. Thank you for listening so well. Everybody did just right.